price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
This week, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un met with Russian President Vladimir Putin for the first time. Now, there's been a lot of talk of a third summit between President Trump and the North Korean leader. Former ambassador to the U.N., Bill Richardson, though, has some advice for President Trump.
Well, I'm worried, Sandra. I hope the president is not too hasty in saying, okay, let's have another summit. He's got an able team, Stephen Biegun, Secretary of State. They want to narrow the differences. We have not decided what our strategy is, and the North Koreans want us to have full sanctions off. We don't want that to happen unless they take concrete steps towards denuclearization, which they have not. So somewhere in between, maybe a step-by-step process. Okay, you dismantle some of your weapons totally, some of your missiles, and you get some sanctions.
But we know the president.
Richardson continues on Fox News.
I think you need to narrow down the differences. We have not decided either side what full denuclearization is. And the reality, Sandra, is Kim Jong-un is not going to give up. He's got 40 nuclear weapons. That's what keeps him a major player, keeps him alive, keeps him negotiating. But even I think if he gets rid of half of them, half of his missiles, not target the United States, Japan, South Korea, it's worth negotiating. So I just hope the president is patient.
Follow us on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Yes, it's that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where we take strange things from the week and tell them to you, and then talk to some people. That's basically the upshot of our program. We try to keep it simple. We don't like to make it complicated. You've got enough complications in your life, honestly. At any rate, you're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Time for strange news of the week, ladies and gentlemen. I know you've heard a lot already, but this may be even stranger. Dog beer, for instance, you may not have heard of this. A couple of Houston bar owners who began brewing beer for their ailing canine a few years ago are now selling it. Good Boy Dog Beer. And it is available at more than 20 locations. Maybe more by the time you're hearing this. The bar owners, Megan and Steve Long, said they learned how to brew beer for dogs, which does not contain alcohol, by the way. Well, I don't know, man. Does that really count? When their Rottweiler mix, Rocky, started having digestion problems a few years ago. The brews are called beer because we use a lot of the same equipment a brewery does. We just skip the fermentation process. The beer contains all natural ingredients. That includes vegetables, meat, and turmeric, a spice known to aid digestion in canines. You know, I'm not sure I would want to drink this. This is like sort of O'Doul's. Would you want to give your dog O'Doul's? Don't give your dog O'Doul's, by the way. I have no idea what that will do. Don't do it. Not safe. The Good Boy Dog Beer Company now has products available at more than 20 dog-friendly bars and restaurants in the Houston area. They also ship their products in cans. Hey, that's convenient. The beer is available in three varieties. IPA A Lot in the Yard, Session Squirrel, and Mailman Malt Liquor. So, there you have it. Another thing to spend your money on, if you have any money. Nasal problems, ladies and gentlemen. Appropriate, therefore, that we read a story about the loss of a 50-pound nose. An Oregon family, it's not Florida all the time. This time it's Oregon, so let's be fair. An Oregon family is offering a $6.27 reward for the return of a 50-pound nose sculpture stolen from the front porch of their home. Why, you might ask, would they have a 50-pound nose sculpture on the front porch of their home? Let's find out. The Albert family said the 2-foot-tall sculpture, which they rescued from being thrown in the trash after a photo shoot, they were going to take pictures of the nose. Why, you might ask? Let's find out. Has been a fixture on their Portland front porch since last Halloween. But someone stole it Sunday night. Ooh. The family is putting up posters asking for the return of their beloved sculpture. They're offering a $6.27 reward for the nose's safe return. They might want to up that a little bit. They said they had wanted to offer a $2,000 reward, but the mother of the family vetoed that idea. Photo shoot. You know, I'm not satisfied with that story. I vow to bring you more, ladies and gentlemen. I do not have it here. I want to know why that nose was there. What kind of a photo shoot involved a 50-pound, 2-foot nose? That's what I want to know. But I don't have time right now because I have to tell you about an emotional support squirrel. And this is from Florida, by the way. So don't think you're off the hook, Florida. Police at a Florida airport removed a passenger who refused to get off a Cleveland-bound flight after she was found carrying an emotional support squirrel. Passengers had already boarded the Frontier Airlines Flight 1612 at Orlando International Airport when they were told there was a situation and that everyone needed to get off the plane. A passenger said everyone was a little panicked. You expect the worst when they say something like that. A lot of people were asking questions. People wanted to know what was going on. Well, here's what was going on. An emotional support squirrel. As the passenger exited the plane, they asked the flight attendant if she had any other information. All she said was a squirrel. But once they were back in the terminal, word spread pretty quickly. Frontier says the passenger had noted in her reservation that she was bringing an emotional support animal with her on the flight, but did not indicate it was a squirrel. Rodents, including squirrels, are not one of the emotional support animals allowed on Frontier flights, according to its website. Go figure. Who knew? And conquer. Conquer she did, a British woman, in the World Conquer Championships. This is something that I'm finding out about at the same time you are, ladies and gentlemen. Standing in the rain-soaked English village, more than 200 competitors, armed with horse chestnuts dangling from shoelaces, faced off for the World Conquer Championships. Apparently, this is quintessential. The quintessential British school playground pastime involves competitors taking it in turns to launch their conkers, which apparently are horse chestnuts tied to shoelaces, launch their conkers in a bid to break those of their opponents. Victory can also be claimed if you force your opponent's shoelace to become knotted 3 times. Well, I'm glad we know the rules at least. Being steady of hand, steady of mind, and able to withstand the cold and the wet is also very important. Well, I think that's just a rule about living in England. Said a competitor. Competitors are not allowed to bring their own conkers from home, therefore ruling out the age-old sneaky hardening tactics such as soaking them in vinegar, leaving them in the dark for a year, or putting them in the oven. This is like, people are way too into this. Despite her training restricted to just 20 minutes on the eve of the event, Karen Holloway, 32, from the English city of Derby, was declared the overall champion. So she did conquer in the conk competition. I think that's all the weirdness we need for 1 week. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get to an interview about our former president, Ronald Reagan. It's not as funny as this, but I think you should stick around, listen, and maybe we'll learn a little something together, you and I. It'll be fun. Come on. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. You can follow us on Twitter at Now It's the News. You can find us on the website, nowitsthenews.com. Please join us as we continue.
Today marks my first State of the Union address to you, a constitutional duty as old as our republic itself. President Washington began this tradition in 1790 after reminding the nation that the destiny of self-government and the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty is finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. For our friends in the press who place a high premium on accuracy, let me say, I did not actually hear George Washington say that. I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience. Although I've been around for a while, I can remember when a hot story broke and the reporters would run in yelling, "Stop the chisels." But I am aware of my age. When I go in for a physical now, they no longer ask me how old I am. They just carbon date me.
Listening to Now It's the News, I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
Mike Hewitt here. There are a lot of folks that would like people like me to be more pragmatic, to give a little. But where is the middle ground between infanticide and the right to live? Is there a warm, fuzzy place between sovereignty and capitulation, between capitalism and socialism? Not unless you think a 1,000% increase in medical and higher education costs is acceptable. When the activists among us, myself included, see country and life-altering issues so dramatically different, can there be a resolution? For most of our history, we've taken on monumental topics one at a time. We argue, fuss, and vote. The issue fails or wins, and we move on. Have we reached a point again where the outright rejection of our election results rule the day? Folks, we must reel ourselves in, or the cracks will become unrepairable. Visit themikehewittshow.com and tell us what you think.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We live in a particular political moment, which is not exactly what you would call calm, not exactly what you would call bipartisan. And that doesn't really say anything, in my opinion, about a particular party that holds the office. I think that Democrats and Republicans both are able to be congenial and antagonistic. And in the era in which certainly the Republican leadership was congenial and forceful about their political point of view, but able to convey it perhaps somewhat more smoothly than the current occupant of the Oval Office was the 1980s and Ronald Reagan. With us to speak with us about this and about the life of Ronald Reagan is Bob Spitz. He is the author of Reagan, An American Journey. Bob, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Derek, my pleasure. And I think the word you were looking for there was civil. There was much more civility going on in those days. Yes.
You know, you're absolutely right. And that was kind of part and parcel of who Ronald Reagan was. And maybe that derives in some part from the route that he took to politics, to conservatism. He started as a New Deal Democrat. How did that shape how he interacted with both sides of the political aisle?
Well, you know, the one thing that Reagan learned more than anything about being a New Deal Democrat was that you have to compromise, that our government turned on compromise. And so while he held dear to Republican and conservative principles, he was always willing to reach across the aisle and to consult Democrats and to, you know, reach a middle ground.
Was it something particular about Ronald Reagan that made that possible, or do you think there was something about that era in which it was just a more civil time? Is this personal, or is it about the broader culture that existed in the 1980s?
You know, I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, the culture was certainly different from the way it is today, especially in Washington, where, you know, at the end of the day, Democrats and Republicans would go out and have dinner together and play cards together. Mm-hmm. Today they would probably lose their job if they were seen with someone from the opposite party. But Reagan really had a he liked people. He was a uniter. He wasn't a divider. And so he just brought a different spirit to it. And he was also, you know, he didn't have a hostile bone in his body. Mm-hmm. So he didn't disparage people. He didn't question your patriotism. All told, that made it for a much more civil, again, I'll use the word, civil environment in politics.
We're speaking with Bob Spitz. He's the author of Reagan, An American Journey. It seems almost routine now for actors, for celebrities to run for political office. Certainly in the 1960s and in the 1980s, that was not the case. How did Reagan's experiences in Hollywood shape who he became as a leader, first as the governor of California and then as president of the United States?
Well, first and foremost, it taught him how to communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in front of a camera and you're in front of a television camera, as well as a movie camera, you learn how to speak and how to relate to people through that medium. And so Reagan was able, using those talents, to apply them and to, you know, and to communicate with the public, who was, as you said, leery of an actor launching himself into politics. But Reagan was always political. He was on the sets of his movies. Whenever they took a break, he would begin to talk politics with all his actors to the point of they really tried to avoid him after a while, and especially when they went to lunch. No one wanted to sit next to Ronald Reagan because they would get an earful.
I imagine perhaps at some point in a more left-leaning political environment in Hollywood and his increasing conservatism, that might have become uncomfortable. And he certainly split with many who he had been more close with in the 1930s and even the 1940s.
Yes, Hollywood then, as now, was basically a democratic place, but there was a very strong constituency of passionate Republicans there. Mm-hmm. And two of Reagan's closest colleagues, his closest friends, Dick Powell and Robert Montgomery, were passionate Republicans, and they kind of went to work on him. I think they, you know, really dragged him across party lines, and his politics started to skew from left to right.
How did he make the transition from being an actor and a spokesman to deciding this is something that I want to participate in terms of getting to elected office?
Well, you know, his Hollywood career came to an end around 1954. Mm-hmm. Movies were getting darker. There was really no room for an actor with a sunny disposition anymore. And he was getting a little too old, long in the tooth. And he didn't know what he was going to do with himself. So he went to he took a job he hated, hosting a cornball variety show in a Las Vegas casino. And every night he went back to his room, and he really beat himself up over taking this job. And he realized that it was time to reinvent himself again. So he took a job at GE, and part of that job was being their corporate spokesman, talking to the men and the women who worked in their factories across the United States. And they told him how what their lives were like and what men a lot to them. And he listened, and he realized that this was really just an avenue for him to go from being an actor and a corporate spokesperson into politics, where he felt he could make a difference.
Interesting. And so that propelled his engagement in an elective way. He became governor of California. Difficult to think about that now, but a lot of, I mean, California used to be a fairly conservative state, or at least a solidly Republican state for a long time. How did his experiences there inform his quest for a national position?
Well, you know, like you said, it was a big state, and so a lot of the focus was on policy in California, and Reagan really dove right into that job. Mm-hmm. But he learned something while he was there. You know, he, unbeknownst to most people, he passed one of the very earliest therapeutic abortion bills in the country, over and above his distaste for abortion, because he learned that all the people, excuse me, 75% of the people in California were in favor of abortion. And so he decided that he would be the governor of all the people, not just some of the people.
His predilection for jelly beans. How did that become a public thing? And how did, you know, why is that, aside from the sugar, what I remember?
Well, I'll tell you, the minute he took office, he put this jar on the table of his cabinet, and he said, listen, when you need a little energy, I'm going to pass this around, and you should each take a few jelly beans. And so, you know, they passed it around, rolling their eyes, but each guy took a couple of jelly beans. The minute the press heard about this, well, they jumped on it, and he became the jelly bean president for a while.
Bob Spitz, he's the author of Reagan, An American Journey, an important piece of our nation to remember, an important personality in terms of who we have become and perhaps in terms of who we aren't currently. Bob, thank you for being on Now It's the News. Much appreciated.
Thanks so much, Derek.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At the National Rifle Association convention in Indianapolis, President Trump says Chris Cox, Wayne LaPierre, and Oliver North are three Second Amendment champions.
And I'm a champion for the Second Amendment, and so are you. It's not going anywhere. It's under assault. It's under assault, but not when we're here, not even close.
The legal team for New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft is working today to convince a Florida judge to toss videos police say show Kraft paying for sex. Prosecutors say videos shot on two separate occasions show the 77-year-old Kraft paying for sex at a massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida. Avengers Endgame is already setting opening night records. Thursday night previews of the superhero movie have already set a Marvel record at $43 million. This is USA Radio News.
Lumber Liquidators Flooring Company has you covered with the hottest styles for any room. Get 15 to 25% off our best-selling floors, like Rose Canyon Pine Waterproof Vinyl and Wide Plank Willow Manor Oak Hardwood. Get started today with special financing, and we can arrange the installation for you. See the flooring experts at your local Lumber Liquidators today. Lumber Liquidators, beautiful floors. for less.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Many of us woke up on a cold November day in 2016 and wondered what the heck had happened. One of those folks was our next guest, Donald Lee Shepherd. He was thinking not so much about politics, however, but about business and what the implications of the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States meant for business and what people in the business community would take in terms of him being a role model. And he has written a book called The Dividends of Decency, How Values-Based Leadership Will Help Business Flourish in Trump's America. Don, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Derek, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Sure thing. I guess the basic question, and I think I know how you're going to answer it, is Donald Trump a good business role model?
No, he's not. He's not even a good businessman, and he definitely isn't a good role model. He has none of the attributes of a successful leader.
We should mention here at this point, you're not some radical leftist. You are, in fact, a Republican, aren't you?
Well, thank you for saying that. It's so interesting how people can label you, but I'm a Republican. I'm an immigrant as well from Canada. Huh. I'm a citizen, and in 1993, when I started voting, I felt the Republican platform was the one that I believed in the most. And so I've been both voting Republican proudly and of course, I've even contributed some money to them. So, I'm not a left-wing liberal. I'm a fiscal conservative and a socially moderate Republican.
Okay, well,
temporarily moved.
There you go. Some will question that Canadian part, regardless of your bona fides there. But nevertheless, let's proceed. I mean, Trump or no Trump, it has been kind of an essential question in our modern age. How does business make money while still being decent? And a lot of folks, unfortunately, have answered that question by saying, well, business isn't going to be decent, and it doesn't have to, and that's not its job. What is your response to that?
My response is that's the reason I wrote the book, to create a positive fact, to talk about a positive fact that good people that have integrity, values, ethics, and the ones that are leaders of organizations end up being very successful. I think the opposite is true. Now, of course, there are examples of that, and I've cited a number of them in my book, but I think the opposite is true. You need to be a good person to be successful in building and growing a company and being in business, period. That's my position.
So how has Donald Trump gotten to the place that he has been in the business world?
Well, we don't know a lot of the story, right? We haven't seen tax returns or other information, but certainly he's done it by bullying and intimidating. And who knows how successful he's being? We certainly don't know that fact. And his negotiating technique appears to be bullying and intimidation. None of it's been successful. He's not a negotiator. I don't want to make this an anti-Trump interview because that's not fair, but you're asking questions about his character is not one that represents a successful person. And how has he done it? I don't know that he has, and I don't know that it'll continue.
So what is the profile of an ethical business person? How are they going to make decisions differently from someone who's just about the bottom line by whatever means necessary?
Yeah. Well, first you'll find when you look at people, whether it's a Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos, you'll find that they live with integrity and ethics, and you can't fake that. But here are the traits that they exhibit. The first one is honesty. so it speaks for itself. Trust. They trust others, and people trust them. Fairness. Treating all people as equals and respecting all people. That includes celebrating diversity. Doing service in the best interest of others. And that's a big part of my book. It's called the win-win-win model, and that is successful leaders recognize that the importance of their employees associates, their clients or customers, the vendors and contractors that support them, they're all equally important in the achievement and success of the organization. So that's one. And another one is consistency. They're consistent because they don't need to think about it, and they don't need to check off a box because it's innate. It's them. It's who they are. And the last is openness. So I'm sorry if that took too long, Derek. But
no, that's fine.
A successful business person exhibits those traits.
We're speaking with Donald Lee Shepherd. He is the author of The Dividends of Decency, How Values-Based Leadership Will Help Business Flourish in Trump's America. We do have significantly divergent models for business success. There are, as you say, the positive ones, the ones that you've talked about, the Warren Buffetts, for example. But they are countervailed to a certain extent by. I mean, you can name a lot of different people. You can name the leverage buyout folks from the 1980s through to those just pushing in the 1990s. Where do these come from? We obviously there are a lot of folks who approach business a lot of different ways, and this started as essentially a capitalist based entrepreneurial a country driven by a business needs. How did those two different paths get created? Because obviously some people are coming from very different places on this, aren't they?
Yes, yes. Here's a really good case study. It's called Enron. I know you know it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's how that developed. These people started this company, and guess what? They had a code of ethics booklet that was 60-plus pages.
Hmm.
But along the way, they didn't follow those ethics, and they manipulated financial returns. They deceived people. And so they were so-called growing and making money and successful and a ton of employees. But here's the point. Their greed and self-interest and the desire to maximize profits outbalanced the need to do good for their employees, customers, clients, community. And so that's how that – it's got started, Derek, because that's who they are. Kenneth Lay and his group, Skilling, that's who they were and are, and you can't change that. But they masked it for quite a while, and so that's one side. Then there's a Bill Gates or a Michael Bloomberg who started with just an idea and worked so hard and built huge and successful organizations because, Derek, I think this is key. They are good people at heart. Nobody's perfect, so don't start throwing examples of right. Non-perfection. But they're good people inside, and they don't have checklists to go through. They treat people well, and they build businesses by respecting and valuing people and hiring people for the right reasons. And look what they've done. And they have people who are loyal to them, people who work for the improvement because they believe in what they're doing. And now they're modern-day versions of the reverse. I can't explain Apple or Steve Jobs was not. I'm reading. I'm no expert in it,
right.
But reading that he wasn't necessarily a good person. Yet, my God, Apple's one of the most successful stories in the country. So, where did it come from? It comes from the leaders and who they really are, and you can hide it, mask it, pretend you're something different for a while, but you'll get caught. Does that answer your question properly?
I think so. I guess in a way, I'm almost going back more historically to, like, what are the strains of in our society, in our history, that lead us, on the one hand, to having good, decent, honest people who engage in business and then use the wealth that they accumulate to do wonderful things along the lines of Andrew Carnegie, another immigrant. And then on the other hand, folks who are just completely ruthless and deceitful, like a Bernie Madoff. We have to take a quick break, but we will be back in a moment with our interview with Don Shepherd. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair.
I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room, and you're listening to Now It's the News with Derek Blair.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
We're speaking with Don Shepherd, the author of the Dividends of Decency, How Values-Based Leadership Will Help Business Flourish in Trump's America. We all, to a certain extent, have the desire to make, we want to make things look good. We want to sometimes make things appear better than they are. So we have, each of us, the instinct within us that could lead to the kind of business practices that we're talking about that we want to avoid. What do we do to check that within ourselves and with others within others we work with?
Oh, my goodness. Where did this the witty comedic blender go? You're being so serious. So, look, here's a simple one. When I worked for some very large consulting companies for a number of years, and there they hired people based on, of course, experience, but also hired people based on the right educational background and how they looked, how they appeared, how they would come across with clients. Mm-hmm. When I started my company, I couldn't afford to do that. have all these fronts. I needed people who could be – anyway, here's the bottom line. Hiring based on competence, based on character, and potential. That's a pretty simple thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about all these great kids who are out in the marketplace, may not have a college degree, might not have whatever, but are a different color, different religion. But what about putting all that stuff aside and relate to people as human beings, hire people as human beings that have the right competence to lead you to success? That's how we can change it. And
it may be that for some people it's too complicated. It's easier to see people as zeros and ones, and you know, humans are messy and complicated and difficult, and so let's just kind of pave over all that. That may be the approach. I'm wondering. It seems like. And again, I'll hold back from naming any names that I haven't already, but that certain business practices seem to come out of gangster movies or The Godfather or something like that, rather than a true sense of human decency. What is it about that sort of demand, loyalty, structure? And a capo that seems to attract a certain set of folks in our society today.
Self-interest,
yeah.
Greed,
yeah.
Power, the motivation that screw you. You'll do this for me, or I'll cut your head off. It's a metaphor, but it's self-interest, greed, power. That creates these bad people, and they get their people through fear and accomplish things through fear. That's Trump. You don't want to say it. I'll say it. And I want to make this point. And I know I said I want to make this positive. Look at Trump's difficulty in hiring competent people to work in the White House. Look at the people that have had to leave because of scandals and problems. Look at his problems in finding getting lawyers. Look at how difficult it is to assemble a truly quality staff. It's because of all the things you and I have been talking about for a while, and that's it works in a mob. It works in businesses like real estate, where you really don't have any many employees. It's all contract, and you can bully and push people around if you have money. But it doesn't work in our free enterprise system and in America with the values that we most of us have. And I would like to say almost all of us have.
Right. We're speaking with Don Shepherd, the author of The Dividends of Decency. When you were speaking a moment ago, and you said that it was a fear-based approach that many of these folks take, my mind went back to Monty Python. And the Spanish Inquisition sketch. I'm thinking that essentially we're talking about fear, surprise, ruthless efficiency. That's essentially what it comes down to, isn't it?
Is it? Just think of it, Derek. Look at these representatives in government, our people, in the GOP, for example, my party, who are so terrified that Trump will tweet about them and affect their reelection or affect their donors that they literally disband values and do the wrong thing because the mob boss, they're afraid of the mob boss. Isn't that scary?
It is.
They won't stand up to these behaviors. And that's, you just said it. You did a Monty Python Inquisition, but in a scary, scary level. People coming out and saying, we need to prosecute Comey. That'll make us all feel better. Well, my goodness, what has he done to you? I'm sorry I went on too long on you again.
Not at all. No,
it's a passionate subject. We should all be, and we need to step up. And what we need to do is be better, be good.
It's delightful listening to you. One final question. Your ordinary consumer, you and I, as we're making our decisions, how do we support this? What do we do as we're shopping, as we're making our buying decisions, to support businesses in a decent approach?
Well, such a great question. Look what's going on with Starbucks. I happen to believe that Starbucks, from everything I know, is a progressive and a good company, treats its people well. The answer there isn't to boycott them or not buy there because there's a mistake that they're correcting. Otherwise, I don't think boycotts are the answer. You might not either, or you might. I think it is just being, as best as we can, aware of what's going on. If you really are concerned, you can find out where products are manufactured. And if you want to buy made in the USA, that's a big step forward. If you want to support local businesses, do that. That helps the free enterprise system. But Derek, will people do it and spend more money? Will people really care enough if they can get something cheaper? So what we can do is are those kinds of things in our shopping and understanding. But we're asking a lot.
We know we are, but it may come to the point where the system that claims to provide the best prices, the most efficiency, the fastest delivery, at a certain point, if that becomes too big, we look at a situation where we have no other choices, and they start not to be so efficient, to not be so cheap, and we realize what it was all about. I think we may be reaching that point. I think some people are responding to that, and I think a lot of folks have done it preemptively, realizing, hey, look at my main street. The businesses are closing. The folks who used to be able to support themselves are now dependent on things that just barely get them by, and these things are connected. And I think I'm going to take action as a result of that. So I may be a little less primed than I would if I'm ordering something, and I may approach things differently when it comes to clicking that button so quickly when I buy something online, when I go into a store, and making the decisions about that. I think people are thinking about it more. And I'm very glad that you are thinking about it more and have written this book about it. We've been speaking with Donald Lee Shepherd, the author of The Dividends of Decency, How Values-Based Leadership Will Help Business Flourish in Trump's America. Thank you for putting this together. Thank you for speaking with us today. It's been really fun speaking with you, Don.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be on your show. You're doing really good work in making this country better. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you.
Happy trails. Happy trails.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair. For more information, go to nowitsthenews.com. Follow us on Twitter at @NowItsTheNews. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Happy trails.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-319-2629. That's 800-319-2629. 800-319-2629.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
But we are building the wall. They're not happy about it. And we will have over 400 miles of wall built by the end of next year.
President Trump on immigration, they're speaking at the National Rifle Association Convention in Indianapolis. The so-called experts were wrong once again about the economy. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more from Washington.
It seems predictions of a slowing U.S. economy have been off the mark. The Commerce Department releasing first quarter GDP numbers showing the economy grew at a 3.2% annualized rate, well above the 2.5% growth that economists had forecast. The growth might even be more surprising because the first quarter included more than 3 weeks of the longest government shutdown ever.
For more news, check us out online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
Now playing Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz.
Boys, get off the ice!
He's been underwater 15 minutes.
The odds were against her son.
He's had no pulse for over an hour.
Until his mother's prayer.
Please send her Holy Spirit to save my son.
Proved the impossible.
We've got a pulse!
Now.
I don't believe John will survive tonight.
Discover the incredible true story.
You don't know my son.
Of an extraordinary miracle.
He is a fighter.
Breakthrough. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets, go to breakthroughmovie.com.
Criminal charges are being filed against the semi driver who caused a fiery crash on Interstate 70 in Lakewood, Colorado.
The driver of the semi that started this event was taken into custody. He is being processed and will be lodged at Jefferson County Jail on multiple counts of vehicular homicide.
That's Ty Countryman with the Lakewood Police. At least four people have died from that accident. Former Vice President and 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden appeared on ABC's The View for his first interview since announcing his candidacy on Thursday. Now, multiple women have claimed that Biden touched them without their consent. And on The View, Biden apologized for not understanding how women felt.
I'm sorry this happened, but I'm not sorry in the sense that I think I did anything that was intentionally designed to do anything wrong or be inappropriate.
Biden is planning a campaign event in Pittsburgh on Monday. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The World Health Organization is coming out strong against letting young kids watch TV or play with smartphones and is pushing parents to help their kids to stay active and get enough sleep. Dr. Jennifer Ashton is the ABC News chief medical correspondent. She talks about some of the new guidelines that the WHO is putting out for children regarding screen time.
The World Health Organization falling in line with other professional organizations because every person who has a little person in their life is dealing with screen time now. So let's break it down. Their new recommendations, basically in keeping with other guidelines, but they're saying 0 to 2 years of age, no screen time, zero. from 2 to 5, 1 hour maximum in a 24-hour period. And I should also add, this isn't just about screen time. They're also making recommendations about sleep, saying that 0 to 5-year-olds should get 10 to 14 wow. hours a day, and activity, up to 3 hours of physical activity a day. And most of the time, if you're looking at a screen, you
you're
can't be
moving.
Sleeping or physically active.
And as far as what you should count as a screen, Dr. Ashton says...
Literally anything with a screen. TVs, computers, iPads, smartphones, anything with a screen qualifies. And I think the other important thing here, Celia, is that we don't have decades of long-term data about the effects on a very young brain of all this screen time, which is now part of our life.
The WHO also said in a statement, what we really are trying to do and need to do is bring back play for children. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.